Podcast.
I am one of the few people who think the Patriots are actually going to be really good this year.
Let's go!
Oh, God.
It's me. It's Kevin Wiles.
What a shocker. Surprise.
All right, welcome in to the latest our Bill Simmons podcasts, and thank you again to Wiser Times for that incredible introduction song. So I'm planning to record with the guest tonight, but in the meantime, two media stories came out hot on Monday of this week. Figured I wanted to cover them on the podcast because they relate to Bill Simmons, the NBA, the NBA rights deal. They're all interwoven together. These are important media updates. So if you like discussion about sports media and media, it's going to be me, Tribe, on this podcast talking about it. If you're more interested in the podcast with guests, feel free to skip this one, and I'm going to have more content for you very shortly. So if you're sticking around, the two stories that I'm covering today, it's number one, Netflix getting some content licensed from Disney. And number two is Andrew Marchand, who I call the top sports media reporter, having a prediction of NBA rights that is extremely similar to the prediction that I gave about a month ago and includes doubling the number of media partners from two to four. But let's start on Disney licensing content to Netflix, because this is a major story that truly shows the power of Netflix. And so I had a podcast a couple of podcasts ago reacting to Bill, talking with Matt Bellany of The Town. He's Bill's go-to media guy, streaming wars type of content. I always find that fascinating. And they both agreed, hey, Netflix had a fucking great 2023 for a variety of reasons. And the sub reacted to it and they said, I don't really know if Netflix had a great 23 because where was the great Netflix content? And they had some pushback. And so I had that podcast to say, no, here's a variety of reasons why Netflix had a great 2023. And one of them is that their financials are so strong. They have the most financial flexibility to spend on content than anybody else in the streaming game. And that's for two reasons. Number one, it's because they have the biggest streaming budget. But then number two, they have the least amount of debt among these major media companies. And that's not encumbered by declining cable TV assets. So if we think back to Disney here, they previously were losing $6 billion annualized on the streaming business. And Wall Street, which a lot of these companies, well, not a lot, all the companies measure themselves to Wall Street, they were okay with it at the time because, hey, Disney Plus is getting all these subscribers. Hulu is too. This is what we're valuing. The stock shoots up during the pandemic because they're getting all these new subs. They're seen as this big growth stock. But then reality set in, interest rates increased. So that's when you shorten your time frame and you look at what the business is actually doing in the short run. And Disney, while they were on track to lose $6 billion annually in streaming, Netflix will make $6 billion or more in streaming this year. So Disney said, wow, we gotta roll back the marketing expense, the content expense. Bob Iger has come out and said, hey, our content actually isn't even that good. He admitted that. And so licensing is a big part of this. Now, they've talked on the last couple of earnings calls about growing licensing as a business, that they have a lot of content that maybe isn't core to their own streaming services, and they could license that out. And they did this. So the news I'm reacting to here, it's a Deadline article from yesterday. And what Disney has gotten is in exchange, or I'll first touch on Netflix, Scott. So Disney is, I'm quoting from Deadline here, that Disney is licensing 14 popular library TV series to Netflix on a non-exclusive basis for 18 months. This includes Lost, This Is Us, Prison Break, Archer, How I Met Your Mother, White Collar, Home Improvement, The Resident, ESPN 30 for 30, My Wife and Kids, Reba the Bernie Mac Show, and the recent Wonder Years reboot. So what, let's unpack that a little bit, because to truly understand why this is so important, we need to go back a couple months to the summer when Suits took the world by storm. And you know, I don't want to hear that, oh, I didn't watch Suits, or me and my friend group didn't watch Suits. The data was out there. There's Nielsen streaming data that comes out every week that shows what shows people watched and how many minutes they watched it. And Suits was getting 3 to 4 billion minutes in the US a week for 10, 12, 15 weeks this summer. Most shows don't even get a billion. So Suits, never before on Netflix, you know, however many seasons it was, all this, all these shows, all the content dropped on Netflix, and fucking people ate it up. And what that proved was that Netflix, it's less about the actual content that they produce, although obviously that's very important. But Netflix has an incredibly powerful position now as the distributor of scale. Netflix now has more US subscribers than the cable TV bundle does. This is a monumental moment in US media, and why I think Netflix inevitably will go into sports and might even go into sports for the NBA deal. So if Suits could take off, if it could re-apex on Netflix, what about some of these other shows? And I think D Disney's smart here. So Disney has gotten some of these shows by buying Fox, which includes the Fox library and production. So How I Met Your Mother, that for a while there, that was the evolutionary friends. That could absolutely have a moment on Netflix. I remember watching that. That's a funny show. The ending sucked, but it was a funny show. White Collar, isn't that in the same vein as Suits, right? USA Network show. Home Improvement, yeah, that was already on Hulu, but man, that's a slice of sitcom life way back when. It was, I don't think it was as big as Seinfeld and Friends, but it was close. It was up there. It was probably in the Mount Rushmore for the 90s sitcoms. You've got Prison Break. Man, I mean, Prison Break certainly had a moment there. Absolutely. That first season, at least, total banger season. Archer, obviously, people, I stopped watching it midway through. I think maybe a lot of people did. People on the sub were saying it fell off. But I mean, all these shows, it's not like these are the top of the line shows, but these are that like second tier of, and they're the Suits tier. And they fit that theme of they either haven't been on Netflix in a while or ever. And when you drop it to the Netflix subscribers, they're going to eat this up. Because what Suits proved is that people, that the power of Netflix is people turn on Netflix and then watch something, as opposed to picking out something to watch first and going to a streamer because of that. Not everyone does it, but that's the general theme. Now, also interesting in this is the ESPN 30 for 30s. Are any of those going to re-apex? I think absolutely it's possible. I think right now those are probably sitting on ESPN Plus, probably barely getting watched. So it'll be interesting if some of those hit 5, 10, 15 years later after they did them. Now, in so what does Disney get for this, right? Because Disney is essentially arming a streaming competitor, Netflix, and it's gonna lead to less Netflix churn. And it's also going to increase Netflix's efficiency of spend. And what I mean by that is the biggest loser here in this agreement, it's not Disney or Netflix, because Disney gets money, Netflix gets more content, and consumers win too, because consumers, they're on Netflix already. They get more content on the service that most of them have. The loser is the money that Netflix would be spending on a new show gets now given to Disney. And so the loser is that 100th new Netflix show that frankly nobody was watching anyway. So it's really a win-win-win situation here. What Disney gets is they are securing Grey's Anatomy streaming rights. Now, I don't know if that's the only payment for these shows, but that is a significant value because, like I said, Suits shows up on Nielsen ratings, as does Grey's Anatomy very often. It's usually there. People love that show. It's got a huge inventory. So if you're a streamer and you have Grey's Anatomy, you're going to have a lot of watching and you're going to have less churn. So Disney gets that in exchange. But probably as part of this, Disney also gets some money from Netflix. And so why does Disney need money? Because they have a hemorrhaging cable TV business. ESPN, the big problem with them is they've got all these sports rights that keep going up every year. So the ESPN's costs are going up, but the revenue is staying flat or even declining because cord cutting is happening at an alarming rate. It really is because people aren't paying for that huge bundle of cable TV channels anymore. And that's why ESPN fired so many people, including their NBA booth, when they need to have profits going forward, and the path they were on wasn't leading to that. And so it's not only ESPN, Disney has a bunch of other cable TV channels, so they need money coming in. So this shows the relative strength in the streaming wars, where Netflix is the dominant force. You have Disney licensing content to them, you have HBO licensing content to them. Everybody wants to get into the content licensing game again because it's 100% pure margin revenue. It's earnings that drop immediately to the bottom line, and that's going to help a lot when you're hemorrhaging subscribers and cord cutting. So when Matt Bellamy says, when Bill Simmons says Netflix had a great 2023, this is part of it. Netflix is cementing their spot as the dominant streaming platform. And we're not going to go back to 2012 era. 2012 was before Netflix did original content. They were just getting into it then. They pretty much had everybody's shows and movies. We're not getting into that, but we're getting closer to maybe the mid 2010s, late 2010s, when Netflix has a decent mix of everybody else's series that were pretty hot when they first ran. A mix of other studios' movies and then their own content. I think 2019, 2020, 2021, when all the streamers pulled back all the content to their own services, Netflix was a little bit more, it was weighted more towards their own content and less to already proven content. And I think it lost a little bit of its luster. And we kind of saw that because the stock price collapsed by 75% at one point. They lost subscribers for the first time. They went out and said, wow, we got to crack down on password sharing to get more subs and revenue. We got to do the ad tier to do the same thing. So there was a time when that ratio was not great for Netflix. I think it's come back now. And so you're going to have fewer Netflix shows and TV, shows and movies, but hopefully better quality. And you're going to have increasing amounts of licensed content that's already proven. So basically the winners here is Netflix has a better service for similar to even lower content cost. The media companies that own the content that are licensing it get upfront revenue, which they need because other parts of their business are either in decline, which is cable TV, or losing a bunch of money, which is streaming. And then there's a little bit of a, yeah, they're arming their competitors, but they're doing it on a non-exclusive basis, which also helps them too. David Zaslav at Warner Brothers Discovery, which the online community doesn't necessarily love, I'm putting that lightly, he has said that once HBO puts their content on Netflix, it's watched more on HBO Max or Max, hilariously. So I think there's a bunch of DC or Warner Brothers movies that are coming to Netflix in December or already came. And they're going to be watched more on Max too, based on that data. So it's interesting how that works, but ultimately, and Netflix was on, I'll close Netflix here. I was listening to a recent investor conference that Ted Sarandos, the Netflix co-CEO, talked about. And obviously we're not in this stage just yet, but the analyst from UBS said, because look at Suits. Amazing numbers. to the point that Suits is actually having might have a reboot, and the scripts that the Suits creator or co-creators that wrote years ago that couldn't find a home in Hollywood, now that's getting made. So there's a huge power of Suits. And so the UBS analyst asked, well, is there a point where Netflix could actually be looked at as marketing for content? So people that own the content pay Netflix to put the content there to make it more popular. And so he kind of laughed at that and said, yeah, that'd be great. We're not there yet, and we're probably not ever getting there, but Netflix has the cost advantage to where I think if Hulu, Netflix, Apple, and Amazon are all competing for a licensed TV series, like let's call it How I Met Your Mother. If all four of those streamers are competing to get How I Met Your Mother at the same dollar amount, if I'm the creators of How I Met Your Mother, I want to be on Netflix because if Suits is any indication, if How I Met Your Mother re-apexes on Netflix, I can get more stuff made. How I Met Your Mother becomes a more valuable series down the line, so the residual checks can get bigger for the next deal. So I'm taking that Netflix deal. So Netflix, dominant 2023, probably going to be a dominant 2024. And the question for them is, do they get involved in sports as the next frontier? And so I will transition here to the second and final topic I will talk about today, which is Andrew Marchand came out with some NBA rights detail. And so I've got a tweet from November 5th, and that I did an NBA episode then, and I said, my current prediction for the next NBA rights deal is four players: ESPN slash ABC, TNT, NBC, and Amazon all get packages. Now, Andrew Marchand wrote an update, his projection 2.0 about the NBA rights deal. He had previously written months ago about this. And Marchand is the top sports media reporter in the game. He is the Woj of sports media. And he does a podcast, which I would highly encourage if you guys listen to this, you'd like that podcast, the Marchand and Oren sports media podcast. Talks about this stuff a lot. So, what is his projection when he wrote this new NBA deal? He said, or actually, let me, yeah, he said, ESPN ABC keeps the finals every other year, much of the playoffs, and airs regular season games on Fridays and Saturdays. TNT keeps Tuesday regular season games, the All-Star game, and a little less playoffs. Amazon Prime Video starts Thursday night basketball after Thursday night football, and they get also some playoffs. And then NBC gets the finals every other year and a conference final every other year. It has regular season games on Sundays after Sunday night football ends. So this is very similar to what I said a month ago. And, get your news early, listen to the R. Bill Simmons podcast, but this makes total sense. And so let's start with ESPN. I think they still want to have top-tier content, and they have ESPN and ABC to do it, but they don't want to spend that much more money. Absolutely not, because they just don't have the money to spend more money. So I was projecting that NBC would get a conference finals in place of TNT, and that would help the NBA because it would put the conference finals on broadcast TV. Marchand's going a step further and saying NBC even gets in the mix on the finals and does it every other year. I had projected that NBC would be in the mix for the finals, but I thought it would stay with ESPN ABC. I think that's a very interesting way to structure it because now ESPN and ABC, maybe they spend a similar amount but lock in the finals every other year, and you get a nice check from NBC putting the finals on their broadcast network and also Peacock. And then they have Sunday night basketball, which to me, and I said that in that previous podcast, Sunday night basketball and Thursday night basketball following in the footsteps of the NBA, that makes complete sense. And why do extra work if you're the NBA, if the NFL's already laid the groundwork, right? We have 10 to probably 12 to 15 million people watching Thursday night football. And probably 20 to 25 million people watching Sunday night football. So people, and yes, there's a lot of football fans that won't necessarily watch NBA games, but people are already dedicating their Thursday nights, these sports fans are, people are already dedicating Thursday nights and Sunday nights to a sport that they're watching for 3.5 hours. Hey, they're going to be looking for new things to watch. You know, hey, you do something for 15, 20 weeks a year. That's a pattern. That's a habit. You want to do something that same time going forward, throw on a great, robust, best of the week matchup. And what Amazon, the benefit of Amazon here is that there's no issue with Thursday games versus Sunday games, right, with the NBA. So I think the NBA, like, man, give Amazon a great fucking matchup on Thursdays and then give NBC a great matchup on Sundays. And I think that would be huge, Nick. You just kind of you draft behind the NFL, and then when the NFL leaves, boom. You know, it's not going to get NFL ratings, absolutely not, but it can get some ratings in the wake of the NFL. So I think that's key. In terms of TNT, yeah, look, TNT and the broader Warner Brothers Discovery, you know, these are the same companies that I go back to my first part of the podcast. Why is Warner Brothers Discovery selling HBO content to Netflix? Well, it's because the company needs more money and they have a bunch of debt that they took on in doing the deal in the first place. They need to repay and pay down. So that speaks to, on one hand, sports is very important, and you could even argue some of the HBO proceeds will be going to sports content on TNT. But on the other hand, they also don't want to break the bank because they've got a lot of other issues in their business. And so that's why keeping some form of the NBA makes total sense, because then that preserves the very high distribution revenue they're getting from TNT. TNT is one of the most expensive channels in the bundle. The end consumer doesn't pay that, but if I have a TV subscription from Comcast or YouTube TV, YouTube TV and Comcast then pay Warner Brothers Discovery a lot of money for TNT, and that would continue. So this aligns with my view, which is ESPN and ABC and TNT, they will stay in the NBA business, but they will have fewer games and pay a similar amount. Amazon Prime comes in hot, and man, if they got the playoffs, that's massive. So I wasn't projecting any playoffs, but if they think playoffs, that's going to be a nice check by Amazon for sure. And then NBC, I think people are absolutely sleeping on NBC because they've shown through college football, Big Ten, through NFL, Sunday Night Football, one of the biggest ways they're growing Peacock is putting those games also on Peacock. So basically, if you get the NBA, then you throw the games. Basically, what you do is NBC wins the NBA from wins a nice rights package. How they underwrite that payment, because it is going to be a lot of money to win a decent chunk of it, is part of how they're going to pay for that is advertising revenue on the NBA games on Peacock and on broadcast. Secondly, they're going to raise the price of NBC because, hey, we have Sunday Night Basketball now. We have the finals now. This is in addition to Sunday Night Football and football playoffs. Well, now you got to pay more for NBC. Now, at a certain point, is the consumer going to reach a breaking point? Very possible, but that's how they're going to pay for it, NBC. And then they're also going to underwrite it through, they're going to get a lot of subscriber acquisition via Peacock when they put these games on Peacock. The NBA, obviously, very young demo for a fan base compared to other leagues. And NBC is already getting plenty of new subscribers from putting other sports on Peacock. It's going to be easy to get those new NBA fans on Peacock. And then, hey, you go to Peacock, you check out whatever else NBC's got on there. And NBC, the studio NBC, they got an incredible amount of content on Peacock. They've got The Office, right? Like, have we heard about The Office recently? No, because it, you know, connecting back to the first point of the pod, The Office was massive on Netflix. And now not as many people are watching it because it's been on Peacock. So you bring in people for the NBA and they go, oh, I'm already subscribed to Peacock because I need to watch my games. I'll pop on The Office again. I'll pop on Parks and Rec again. I mean, if The Office and Parks and Rec were placed on Netflix today, they would be watched so much. It'd be, it might even be more than Suits the first few weeks or even months that those shows are on there. So that's how all these things are ultimately connected. So maybe I'll finish with this to connect both points here. We are seeing a huge transformation in the media landscape where cable TV is shrinking at an alarming rate. It's now 8%. So 8% annually of the people that own a cable TV package, which is DirecTV, YouTube TV, Comcast, Charter, whatever, AT&T, UVerse, if you still use that. That's declining at 8%. It was 7% last year. It was 1% as recently as 2018. So that's probably going to continue going higher. What that means is that the companies that have a lot of cable TV channels, and that includes Disney with ESPN, FX, Disney Channel. That includes Warner Brothers Discovery with TNT, TBS, all the Discovery channels, TLC, all that kind of stuff. That includes Paramount with MTV, VH1, Nickelodeon, Comedy Central. All those companies are losing significant amount of revenue versus their previous expectations. Now, what's also happening is fewer and fewer people are watching cable TV because they're going to streaming. And so advertising revenue is declining at a pretty significant rate these days. And that's leading to significant earnings decline for companies in the linear TV ecosystem. At the same time, all those companies in the linear TV ecosystem that the cable TV has been hurting them a lot, they're all losing money on streaming trying to catch Netflix. And then the counter is that Netflix is going to make $6.5 billion this year in free cash flow. So that is why you're seeing, oh, wait a second. I can make money licensing to Netflix. Let me go and do that. Even though it could hurt me long-term competitively, let me go and license more content or some content at all to Netflix to get that margin, to get that revenue. And Netflix wants to do it because it strengthens them. Yes, Netflix is paying some money to their rivals, and so their rivals can go and have new content on their streaming platforms or buy sports rights. But from Netflix's perspective, it doesn't matter as much because for them, they're solely looking at it and saying, this is increasing my efficiency of content. And then finally, we're going to see big tech get into sports. We're already seeing big tech get into sports. The NBA rights deal is going to be a huge, huge point in whether we see Amazon get in, whether we see Apple get in. Amazon getting in would essentially replace, let's say that what Marchand says is correct, that TNT keeps Tuesday night and then Thursday night goes to Amazon. Well, that's a major shift in the landscape of if we have a game on Thursday night with Amazon. They have big balance sheets. They have a big budget, and they can afford to spend. And then the question, obviously, is going to be, well, Netflix is in the best position of all these media companies. Netflix is in pole position for top streamer. They are, you know, they are in a tier alone. They're in the streaming pantheon is only Netflix right now. And there's a lot of challengers for that, but it's only Netflix. They're number one by far. And so the question is, are they going to get into the sports rights game? Because the NBA, it's the last big sports package for a long time. So if Netflix wants to get in at all, they're going to have to get in for this NBA. Right now, I don't see it. Right now, Marchand also doesn't see it. But we're still early in the process. This contract does not have to be signed for a long time. It's still even in the exclusive negotiating window with Disney and TNT, and that seems like it's totally going to go by the wayside because they want at least one more partner, probably two. So all of this stuff is circulating together for what's going to happen in streaming going forward, and what's going to happen with the NBA rights deal. So it's really interesting stuff. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you stuck around for the whole thing, if anyone out there listening ever wants to talk more about this, let me know. You can come in the pod. We can discuss it. And again, like I say, I'm doing this. I'm not just a random person. I do this from an informed perspective because I look at a lot of this stuff for work. And so I'm not only fascinated by it personally, but I do look at it for my day job. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Really appreciate all the love and support for the podcast of late. This has been incredible. The JJ Redick pod was downloaded and listened to at an amazing clip. And I'm really appreciative of all the fans out there. So if you guys like the pod, leave a 5-star review. The Apple podcasting is getting more and more reviews, but pop a 5-star review in a comment if you're listening on Apple. And I will stop it right there. Like I said, going to have more and more content coming to you going forward with guests, but felt like wanted to break this one out because two interesting media stories going down just on one day, and thought you guys should be aware of it, cover you guys on the sports media beat. So with that, I'll end it. Have a good one, and I'll see you back in this podcast feed very soon.